Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, indeed you sent Jesus to reign. And we know that, we are convinced that Jesus Christ will indeed return to reign over the new earth and the new heaven. We pray in your mercy that Jesus would also rule in our hearts and lives today. And to that end, we pray that you would send your Spirit, that we might hear your truth and understand it and know how to apply it to our lives so that you might be glorified. We thank you for your victory, for welcoming us to share in your victory over sin and death. May we come to you with our needs. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. We are in the season of Epiphany right now. It's a season where we use words like light and glory. The word Epiphany is meant to make us think of God revealing God's self to us. It's a season that comes between our celebration of Jesus' birth and the season of Lent. The gradual rejection of Jesus by the world, and the gradual realization in every person that Jesus died for us. And what is being revealed in Epiphany? We have two stories today. Two stories of Jesus bringing healing. We also have in Romans Paul's list of the change that's supposed to happen in our hearts as we move from pride and hate into a humble and loving relationship with God and others. What is being revealed in these passages? It's Jesus himself being revealed. Jesus as one who has authority. Authority to bring about inward and outward transformation. Authority to bring about transformation in the lives of anyone who will come to him and admit their need. In the gospel stories, Jesus uses his authority to bring about physical healing. But in the epistle lesson, Jesus is revealed as the one who saves us from pride and hate. God's glory that's being revealed is that God is someone who transforms us. As we talked about last week, Jesus' coming was meant to be a celebration of God's abundant grace being poured out into the world. God visited the earth to save, to heal, to forgive, to transform the unclean and the unworthy. And these are the people who make up the church. That is us. The people, as the Psalms wrote, who once were wandering in desert places, lost and alone, and now God has gathered them in from the lands, from east and west and north and south. And a people called in turn to work together to overcome evil with good, as we do our best to love others. Let's look at each of these points. Jesus is revealed as the one with authority. The leper comes to him and says, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." The leper recognizes that Jesus actually possesses the authority. The authority isn't Jesus to ask someone else. Jesus does not have to go to the Father. Jesus himself has been given authority by God. "If you will." He also recognizes that Jesus is able to bring about this healing. "You can do this, Jesus. You can make me clean." The leper recognizes Jesus' authority. The centurion as well recognizes Jesus' authority. "I am not worthy to have you under my roof, Lord, but only say the word." Both of these stories come right after Jesus' longest recorded sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And the crowds, at the conclusion of it, were astounded, it says, and remarked, "He teaches as one with authority." And throughout Matthew, this is what is being revealed to us. Jesus Christ has authority over our health, over demons, over the forces of evil in society, over nature itself, as we'll read about next week, and finally, over death. But what is Jesus using this authority for? Jesus is using this authority to transform humanity and the world. Jesus brings about inward and outward transformation, brings about healing in the leper, brings about healing in the centurion's servant who was paralyzed. But just as common are the wounds that each of us carry in our hearts and minds, wounds that leave us feeling ashamed and unworthy of God's love or of being loved by others. And so Jesus comes with authority to bring healing even in the deepest, most secret places inside us, in places that we hardly understand ourselves what is going on or what our motivations are. Jesus came as well to teach us a new way of living, to teach us to obey God first. For even though Jesus had been given all authority by the Father, Jesus never did one thing unless the Father directed Jesus to do it. In imitation of Jesus, then, we submit our lives to the authority of God the Father. But also Jesus invites us to a new way of living, in putting others first, in loving others. Do we really need this healing, though? Jesus may have this authority, and that's all well and good. But do each of us really need that? Maybe we feel like we're okay. We're not doing that bad. We can get by. We don't need to really impose on Jesus or on God. He's got much bigger problems to deal with in the world than us. You can imagine booking a visit with your doctor, showing up and sitting down and saying, I'm not here to take up much of your time. I'm doing well. And the doctor says, well, I have the results of your physical. No, it's okay. I'm doing okay. I know I'm all right. Now, there are many of us, I think primarily masculine people, and that is their approach in life. You don't need to trouble the doctor with concerns about my health. Well, Jesus has the results of our physical. And if we're willing to listen, the news isn't good. We need to come to him for healing, every last one of us, day after day. When we're ashamed, it often forces us or leads us to act in a way we respond in pride. We build ourselves up to justify ourselves, to make us feel better about ourselves. We tear other people down out of a sense of our own inadequacies. Or we hide away from one another and from God like Adam and Eve did, out of shame for hidden sins. We feel like we're not worthy. But when we come to Jesus in our prayer, when we come to Jesus in the scriptures or in worship or in conversations with others, we encounter a love that transforms us and heals us in ways that we did not know we needed healing. But even if we are not convinced that we need the healing, there is no mistaking that our world is in need of healing. And it's been said by a man whose name I cannot pronounce that the line of good and evil doesn't just run through the world, it runs through every human heart. We can see the need for our world to be transformed, but the place to begin is in our own lives, in coming to Jesus, the one who has authority to bring healing. Or perhaps you have been waiting for healing. Perhaps there's some illness, physical illness, that you have, and you have asked over and over again for Jesus to heal you. You claim to have authority, Jesus. Why haven't you healed me? Or maybe there's some situation in life that you find yourself in. Jesus, you say you have authority over the events of the world or the events of my life. Why haven't you answered this prayer and healed me in this? Or maybe like me, the most difficult thing is the transformation you wish you could see in your own life. The besetting sins, the same tendencies repeated over and over again. I have prayed over and over again, Father, to be freed from this. And here I go again. I've hurt other people and I didn't mean to. Why won't you set me free and heal me? When you ask Jesus Christ, we are asking the right person. I can't answer any more than anyone else has been able to answer why it is that God seems to delay. We know that healing is coming once and for all. They were singing about it so well. Jesus will return and set all things right. In the meantime, when we ask Jesus, we are asking the right person. We are going to the right place. Athanasius puts it this way: salvation flows from Jesus, just like illumination comes from a light. Jesus reveals and manifests God's glory in this, that God is using power and authority to bring about good in response to evil. And God, through Jesus, calls the disciples of Jesus to join in and overcome evil with good. We read through Paul's description of how we should live. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Associate with people you feel are lowly. Don't claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. We could look at these as a list of rules, but that's not how Paul thought. Paul's perspective, along with everyone else at this time, was that the choices we make day after day shape our character. These are virtues, and when we practice them, we are transformed. And then when the time comes, we don't have to remember the rule because our hearts have been changed into the image of Jesus, and we begin to respond the way humanity was always meant to respond. The NIV unhelpfully adds this title, "The Marks of a True Christian." These are a list of habits, a list of practices. These are means for you to allow the Holy Spirit to pour love into your heart. These are a means for you to allow Jesus Christ to bring light into your mind and your life. And as we do that, God changes us and transforms us. We develop a Christ-like character. And so Paul says, when someone has cursed you, when someone has hurt you, here's a habit you can practice. Pray for God to bless them. Pray for them day after day. Day after day, practice empathy. Pay attention to how other people are feeling. Weep with those who are weeping. And rejoice with those who are rejoicing. Practice empathy day after day. Live in harmony with the people around you. Ask the people near you, well, what do you want? I know what I want, but I'm going to try and ask, what do you want? And I'll try and do that. Practice humility. Don't think of yourself more highly than other people, but be willing to build relationships with everyone. And when we practice these things, our character is changed by God. Or we can think of it that we are using one thing to defeat another. We can sometimes fall into wanting to respond in kind. So on the website, there's a link to a movie from the 1980s called The Untouchables. And the main character is Elliot Ness, and he's trying to bring down Al Capone. And he's found one police officer that he trusts. And the police officer said, I don't know if I should. Okay. I'm going to give in to temptation here. He says to the police, which, you want to get Kapol? Here's how you get Kapol. He brings a knife, you draw a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's how you get Kapol. And that's the Chicago way. So there is evil, using evil to match evil. But here Jesus and Paul are proposing something completely different. That God overcomes evil with good. God overcomes hate with love. God overcomes violence with peace. And so, evil is revealed as the real enemy, not other human beings. When Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan," he wasn't being overly harsh to Peter. In a sense, he was letting Peter off the hook. You're not the problem. I'm not going to make you my opponent, Peter. It's Satan. It's evil that's the real opponent. When Jesus said on the cross, "Forgive them, they don't know what they're doing," he wasn't just being big-hearted. He was recognizing that evil is the problem. And so often we mistake one another as the enemy. Or we mistake the Canadian government as the enemy. But our struggle is not against those, against people. It's not against flesh and blood. It's against the forces of evil arrayed against us. And so when we respond in kind, we're playing right into evil's hands. But when we respond to evil done to us, evil behaving around us, going on around us, we are playing into evil's hands. And instead, Paul says, overcome evil with good. Do we really need Jesus? Do we really need each other? John Chrysostom wrote this, one of the church fathers. "There is nothing that so elates a person and makes them feel different from other people as the notions that they can do it all by themselves. And it's for this very reason, this human trait, this human tendency, that God places us in need of one another. So then, do not suppose that you are lowered by needing someone else. But rather, when you turn to another person in need, when you turn to Jesus in need, this makes you stronger. This makes you brighter. This makes you the more secure." Jesus has authority. He's demonstrated that in his teaching, in his healing, in his commanding nature, in his defeating death. And he is using that authority to heal us in our weaknesses, both physically and spiritually, to heal the leper and the paralyzed, to heal our shame diseases and our love paralysis. And Jesus is doing this by overcoming evil with love, by overcoming evil with good. As we live with Jesus, we step into light. The light that comes from seeking Jesus every day. And in connection to Jesus Christ, we are healed. We are set free. And as Jesus' disciples, we are invited to do our part, to overcome evil with good, to join in the celebration of God's kingdom breaking into the world, the celebration of the coming of the kingdom of God on earth. How will we respond when someone does something bad to us? How will we respond when something evil, some evil misfortune comes our way? And how will we respond when we ourselves are the culprits and to blame, when there's evil inside us? Always the first step is to go to Jesus, to be connected to Jesus, to find in God's love through Jesus Christ the healing that we need. And then to draw on that love that's been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit and to overcome evil with good. To the glory of God. Amen.